August 13th, 2010, Frankel wins for the first time at Newmarket, beginning an incredible run of 14 wins. All great streaks start somewhere, so start your own with Betfair's free bet streak. Simply bet £20 on the exchange this week and get a £5 free bet. If you win with a free bet, you'll get another. It's that simple. Free bet streak from Betfair.
Weekly opt-in, back or lay exchange bets placed Monday to Sunday. Minimum odds £1.55 free bet awarded at bet settlement, valid for 72 hours. T's and C's apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
The Final Furlong podcast is proudly brought to you by attheraces.com, your ultimate resource for finding winners.
Welcome to the show and hopefully the gravy train ahead of a fantastic weekend's racing. I'm your host, Demis Kennedy. Thank you for downloading the show. Joined by informed tipster from The Sun and TalkSport, Mr. Tom Bull.
Hello, Emmett. Thank you very much for having me on again.
Delighted to have you on again, my friend, particularly if you continue in the red-hot form that you've been in. Speaking of red-hot form, it's the one and only Rory DeLarghi.
Hello there.
Welcome back to the show, my friend. Hope you are well. We'll get stuck into it. York is where we're going to start before we move to the Curra. There's so many races to talk about, so we went through it in pre-production, and this is the list we picked. The John Smith's Cup will start things off. The going currently is good, officially, at York, and over 10 furlongs. Solid Stone for Sir Michael Stout and William Buick is your favourite on the Betfair Exchange at 6.5. Fifth position for Roger Varian, 7.0. And Piven, who I quite like for this race, for Andrew Balding and Rob Hornby, is currently 9.5 on the Betfair Exchange. Tom, I'll start with you. Who do you like for the John Smith's Cup?
Yeah, I mean, it's a smorgasbord of classy racing this weekend, isn't it? Everywhere you look, at every course, there's a decent race or two. John Smith's Cup, very much one of those. Probably the highlight of the British Fair this weekend. Obviously, Solid Stone, a very impressive winner at Sandown last time over a mile. The gelding option, elbow operation, clearly worked well. I mean, he's obviously improved as a four-year-old. I'm not of the opinion, I'm not sure that 1 mile, 2 furlong and 2.5 furlong will suit him as well this time. Yes, he's won over the trip, but that improved form last time came over a mile. He's up £7 now, and this is a much hotter race. So I'm quite keen to take him on, quite keen to take Karadok on as well, and fifth position. So the one that I do really like, actually, who's kind of one of the stalwarts of the handicapping game over the past, is Baltic Baron. He's quite a big price, I think, for David O'Mara, who's absolutely rocking at the moment. He's had so many winners recently. He had four of his last 9 runners have all won. So at least we know the train is in very, very good form. And this horse, who's I think he's cost a lot of people a lot of money in the past, because he's always one of those horses that kind of almost gets there, but doesn't quite get the job done. But it was much more like his old self when he came fifth in the Royal Hunt Cup at Royal Ascot last time. And I'm really interested in him tackling this new trip, because he's never done it before and he really likes a big field. His best runs have come in big fields, including a close fifth in the Golden Mile at Glorious Goodwood and, of course, his effort at Ascot last time out. He's actually still fairly lightly raced for O'Mara. He's only had one full season with him, having been in France. And I think as a five-year-old, he definitely could have more to come. And I do think with Angus Villiers claiming 5, Angus Villiers, he doesn't get too many high-profile rides, but when he does, he's definitely worth following, because he's got a very, very big career in the saddle ahead of him. He's got a lot of class and he's got great composure for someone of his age. And actually, he rides York particularly well. So I'm very happy with the fact that David O'Mara has managed to book this Angus Villiers on board, which means actually he's now going dropping back to a mark of 91, if you take that claim into account, which actually is £5 lower than his lowest ever mark he's ever run off. So I do think Baltic Baron has to be very, very well handicapped and must have a huge chance if he does improve, as I expect him to over this slightly longer trip. So hopefully Baltic Baron, I think he's around about 20-1. Is going to have a pretty big chance from the bottom of the weights. And I think he's probably better than this mark in time. And I was really quite pleased with that run last time at Royal Ascot. So I'd be very interested in him. Of the others, I think Breath Court has got a decent chance each way. I thought he ran pretty well at Epsom last time out behind Sky Defender. That horse definitely got the run of the race that day, so I wouldn't want to be having him again. But I thought Breath Court of the others in that race looked the one. But for me, Baltic Baron is definitely the one at a big price, so I think can outrun his odds.
21.5 currently on the Betfair Exchange. And as I look at attheraces.com, David O'Mara has had 11 winners in the last 2 weeks. On fire. Are you going to back that up, Rory DeLarghi, or are you going in another direction?
I wouldn't argue with that, but I'll go in another direction though. It's a very tough race. I'm not sure that Sky Defender is necessarily one to be against after Epsom. Yes, he was. He was well positioned there, but He'll again be well positioned here, I think. A, because that's his style of running anyway. And York is kind of a, it's often described as a front runner's track, which is unfair, but it is a track that favours horses with speed rather than relative speed rather than stamina. And although he's drawn out in stall 23, for a horse who races prominently, that's not a bad draw at all, because it means you're able to sustain your speed around the bend. One of the issues with tracks with tightish bends, like York does, or also galloping track generally, it's got a long straight. The home bend is tight enough. If you're taking that towards the inside, you've got to check your speed to get right. Whereas if you're coming from a wide draw, Sky Defender is, you can take a more oblique angle into the bend and therefore maintain your speed through it. And I can see him going forward under Joe Fanning, getting on the lead, being able to build that up round the first bend and then slow things down a little bit and go where he wants. And where I'd want him to come is up the middle of the track. I never like to see horses get to the front from a wide draw and then immediately move across to the inside rail, because I think that always makes them a target. Everyone then is bearing down on them. Whereas if you maintain your position in the middle of the track, if that's, as long as that's a good enough place to be in terms of the state of the going, it's much harder for the field as a group to attack you than it is if you just go to the far rail, because then everything is just, you just got a target on your back then. So I could see him actually running a very good race. And, you know, for all you can knock the form of his run at Doncaster before he went to Epsom, you know, he's a horse who's now won 3 starts this year. He is essentially still improving based on his Epsom run. He's £5 higher, and that's going to make it tough for him. But he doesn't have a bad weight with 9 stone 6. And I thought Sky Defender actually would run fairly well. I'd hope that he'd be a drifter on the day. He's kind of horse who'd be put in reasonably short because he's won a televised handicap in recent times. But I think most people will want to be against him. And I'm hoping to get a reasonable price about him. And the other one I like, oddly enough, also comes from the same race, and that's Caradog, who was progressive last year, has got decent form here. He was 3rd over a mile and a half on quick ground here last August, despite the fact that he looked like he didn't quite stay the trip. He was quite freely. He ran on pretty well, but got mugged through so much training, 3s on and running. He doesn't need to improve an awful lot on that. He's £6 higher for that, but he won next time out at Newbury. He ran well in listed company after that. And I thought he ran well at Epsom to be four lengths sixth behind Sky Defender last time out, because he was badly positioned. He was right at the back of the field there. He didn't look particularly happy coming down the hill, but he finished off pretty well without ever looking like winning that, to get within 4 lengths, and runs off the same mark. So he's got a £5 turnaround with the winner. Stall 9's dandy for me. James Doyle taking over for Oshin Murphy is hardly a bad thing either. And I thought he was sure to run a big race. So he'd be my main selection in the race. And I'd look, you know, I would look to back Sky Defender if he drifts from his current price. I think that's quite likely.
Okay, Caradoc gets James Doyle on board for the first time. He's been well backed from 11.0 down to 8.0 right now on the Betfair Exchange. Rory's other selection is the Mark Johnson and Joe Fanning team up for Sky Defender. And that horse is currently trading at around about 17.0. As for the selection from Tom, as I was saying, you can currently get around about 21.5 currently. For Tom's selection as well. And Piven is in there at 9.5. But no love from the lads for the first horse to try and bid for the double successfully since 19 Dickety Doo 86 for historical records. The Irish Oaks.
I imagine that was.
You see, that's why you're banned from the Christmas quiz, Rory.
Smashing horse show, yeah.
Because you'd embarrass all of us. Tom, you may very well be part of the Christmas quiz this year, but Rory can set questions but not be part of it, because it would just be an annihilation. It would be a total embarrassment.
No, that was very impressive quick knowledge.
Just like that.
Yeah, if you ask me who won the Derby, though, I still have to think about that for 5 minutes.
For 5 minutes?
I'd have to piece the entire season together.
About 5 seconds and you'd have it, no doubt. The Irish Oaks, Jubmont Irish Oaks, to give it its full title. The going currently at the Curragh is good. He looks outside, It's not raining, but it was earlier on. Cayenne Pepper heads the betting and is a favourite horse of Roy DeLargy. 3.0 after a mighty run behind Magical on her seasonal reappearance. Ennis Dynam is also co-favourite. 3.5 currently on the Betfair Exchange, but generally is challenging for favouritism with Cayenne Pepper and will be the leading contender for Aidan O'Brien. Snow, who won the other day, also in here at 5.5. Coolmore also running even so, but that horse runs for Jar Lyons. Aidan O'Brien then has got Lambabrum, whatever, Passion, and New York Girl, who was supplemented to run in the Derby. It didn't quite work out for her, though. She's in here as well at a big old price. I suspect that when we were looking at this race beforehand, we were dreaming of the likes of the French Oaks winner, Prix de Diane winner, Fancy Blue coming over. We were probably even thinking about Love, but none of those horses take up this engagement, Tom. But we do still have some pretty exciting horses. Ennis Dynam was certainly a horse that you were very, very keen on for the Oaks, and she landed the forecast for us and turned an odds-on shot into a 9-to-1 shot. So what's your thoughts on the Oaks at 10:30 at night at the Curra on Saturday? Jesus.
Yeah, look, it's a slightly disappointing renewal in my opinion, just because we're kind of not really seeing the top class fillies ever a mile and a half. But that said, Cayenne Pepper and Ennis Dynam are proven at this level, and they're very, very good fillies in their own right. So we can't be grumbled too much. And we've got the likes of Snow in there, who could be anything, and Laburnum as well, who's definitely got plenty of potential after just two starts. But I want to start off with the Irish Oaks. I just wanted to say that I actually read 1984 recently for the first time by George Orwell.
Oh.
And for those who don't know, that the main character in that is a guy called Winston Smith, and basically his enemy is the big brother, the state, and that is embodied by a character called O'Brien. And I have to say, when I read it, I thought to myself, well, at the moment, Winston Smith is essentially every other Irish trainer. They all lie in fear and awe of O'Brien and his firepower. But you haven't got just one O'Brien, you've got three of them now, so you've got absolutely no chance if you're anyone but an O'Brien.
Hold on a second. Are you equating George Orwell's 1984 to Aidan O'Brien is the big brother overseeing everything and therefore is the enemy of racing?
Not the enemy of racing at all, no. He's just the enemy of all other Irish trainers.
That's
all
right, okay. Just to clear things up, because, you know, there's only 280 characters on Twitter, and people will go nuts. Be like, Tom Bull says Aidan O'Brien is the big brother of Irish racing, is an enemy of all. No, just the trainers. Proceed.
Well, actually, to be fair, like most people who are under the kind of the gaze of Big Brother, I, like many people, do love O'Brien. And obviously, you can't not. But there's three of them. And I just think now with Donica in his stable as well, you know, these poor Irish traders have got little chance of landing a big one, haven't they, really, now? But actually, it's quite nice to see Jesse Harrington with a favourite, isn't it, in a group one like this with Cayenne Pepper. I am against her, though, I have to say. She won the Flame of Tara last season, obviously finished fourth in the Fillies Mile behind Love and Quadrilateral. Beaten a long way by Magical, but that was fair enough on her reappearance in the Pretty Polly. Interesting to see how she makes what she makes of this mile and a half trip, the step up from a mile and a quarter. She's by Australia, but it's not guaranteed to suit her. Plenty of her relatives have form over a mile and a quarter, but not over a mile and a half. I'm not sure how strong her general form actually is, and I think she might be at the head of the market on reputation rather than actual proven ability. So I know that Jesse thinks the world of her. Jesse Harrington, I should say, not on first name terms. The world of her. Yeah, exactly. That's a big plus, obviously, but I'd be keenest to look elsewhere. I mean, yes, she is likely to come on for that return in the Pretty Polly, and she's back against her own age group now, but I think she needs to show a little bit more. And remember, she's only a Group 3 winner and has so far struggled to land a blow at the top level. So until she does prove herself a Group 1 company, I'd be inclined to take her on, particularly as she is favourite and quite a short price. So that leads me nicely on to one of my favourites, as you mentioned earlier, Ennis Dynam. We saw the way she improved from her maiden win to Royal Ascot, where she finished behind Frankly Darling. Despite running the last three furlongs, as you mentioned before, in a quicker time, then she definitely improved again at Epsom, but obviously it was no match for that wonderful, brilliant filly Love, who really was one of the most impressive winners of that race I can remember. So there's no shame in finishing a distant second to her in that race. She was quite clearly the best of the rest, because you watch that race back and she made quite a significant mid-race move from about last place to third in around the space of half a furlong, and she tried to chase down, I think it was Tiempo Vuela and Passion, who are the two tearaway leaders. And I think in hindsight, jockey James Doyle would possibly have wished he'd simply tracked Love through the race rather than making that mid-race move. Although I don't think the result would have been any different. I think he still would have been beaten in a significant way. However, of course, there is no Love here. No Love here for plenty of them, apart from Ennis Diamond. And of Aiden's pair, Ennis Diamond and Snow, the more fancied pair, I'd be much happier to side with Ennis Diamond, who has proven Group 1 form. We know she stays very well. She's only had 4 starts in her career, and the rate she has progressed suggests to me that the few pounds she needs to find her official ratings will certainly be something she is capable of doing. So she'd definitely be my pick. I think she should be favourite. I'm quite surprised she's not, actually. And the fact that Aidan O'Brien is clearly relying on her as his number one pick in the Irish Oaks, I think actually says quite a lot about the regard in which he holds her. So hopefully Ennis Diamond is the one to land the Irish Oaks. And of the others, I like the attitude that Snow showed last time when she was stepping up to a mile and a half and winning the Munster Oaks at Cork. But this is obviously a different kettle of fish. And on a collateral line through the second, Snapriceps, I think is the way you pronounce it. You'd have other fillies who actually entered for this race, like Lemister, who bypassed the race at the declaration stage as being better than she is. And I think she does need to improve significantly to land a Group 1. Even Song likewise needs to improve. And although she should enjoy another 2 furlongs, which she's quite clearly a strong stayer, she has a fair bit to find on the figures, and she only scraped home in listed company last time. Laburnum, I'm not sure about this one. I think she probably needs a couple more starts to land a Group 1, despite the fact this isn't the strongest Group 1 in the world. And I thought Passion ran an extraordinary race in the Investec Oaks at Epsom last time out, because she came back at the end, didn't she? Having made that ridiculous kind of forward move with Tiempo Vuela. So I'd expect her to run well, but obviously not be good enough to win this. And the one I would give an outside chance to is New York Girl, because she was never really put in the race when supplemented for the Irish Derby last time out, but she stayed on really nicely for 7th. I mean, I know she was beaten a fair way, but she wouldn't have been supplemented for that race had Connections thought she wasn't capable of more. And she's only rated £1 inferior to Ennis Diamond. She's about, 3 times the price. And I think there's definitely more to come. Joseph O'Brien clearly thinks she's up to Group 1 level, particularly having put her in the Irish Derby where she was against the Colts. Now she's back against the fillies. I can see New York Girl running a big race in what is not a particularly strong Group 1. But for me, I think Ennis Diamond for the win, and to see off New York Girl in a fantastic finish, just to give me that beautiful kind of front 2. But I don't think it's going to happen. But possibly. We never know. But Ennis Diamond for me to land the win.
I like the fact that you're putting up the forecast as well, or the exact, whichever way you want to go. And of course, you can do that in the Betfair Exchange as well. I'm quite taken with Snow here, with Hussey on board, and we're still in a situation where quarantine rules ruling out certain jockeys, and of course Shami Heffernan's going to be on the sidelines for a long, long time. So hence the jockey bookings the way they are. But Rory, as you look at the race, did you take enough from Cayenne Pepper's comeback against Magical, or was she a little bit flattered that day? Because that was all really about how brilliant Magical was. And while she's a 3-year-old and it was her first run of the season, she was still beaten 4.5 lengths and Magical was easing down. So do you want to be with Cayenne Pepper or against her?
It'd be price dependent, to be honest. That was a fair enough run. There's no suggestion. We shouldn't be looking at that and saying that's the best form in the race, because it isn't on paper. Although she had an impossible task trying to come from behind against Magical. I thought she looked like she needed it as well. You know, she was, that's a really tough ask for a 3-year-old against older fillies in a Group 1 at that stage of the season, especially on her comeback. She was one of only 2 in the race. The other one, Rocco Roma, was coming off a win and was well beaten in 5th in the end. And Cayenne Pepper, I thought she looked like she was a little bit rusty and ran pretty well. But again, your view on whether she's a good bet for this depends on what you thought of her before that, not your analysis of that form as such. Because it's not the easiest race to analyze. Magical was ridden the best way for races at the Curragh. If you got a bit of class and you don't mind going from the front is always the best thing to do, as we've seen time and time again. There, it doesn't tend to be where the best horses are ridden. But she, she kicked clear entering the straight and the race was over. So whether she's £10 better than Cayenne Pepper at Wait for Age, whether she's, you know, 4 or 5 pounds better or a stone better, I don't know. But the runner-up will come on a lot for that. As I said when I talked about her beforehand, she's a filly I had marked down as my Oaks filly last season, based on the way she shapes when beating Love in the Filly's Mile. The Filly's Mile was a really interesting contest. You'd need to do a fair bit of study of the contest. Quadrilateral was flattered by winning it. Everyone raved about her afterwards, but she looked the first horse beaten in the race, but they've all gone a little bit too soon into a headwind. And Quadrilateral, who couldn't go with them in the first place, ended up just plugging on and plugging on. And as they began to tie up late in the day, she got up to win narrowly from Powerful Breeze. The Powerful Breeze was much the best of the pair of them on the day, but we haven't seen her since because she's been injured. Love, kept on late in the day to be third, but I thought Cayenne Pepper was a little bit unlucky in the run. She was very prominent in the first place, and then she struggled when the others pressed on before keeping on again late in the day to be fourth. I thought she shaped a fair bit better than the better result that day, and that's why I liked her. She'd obviously won her previous start before that, but everything about her suggested that she would do better when developing a little bit more as a three-year-old. And as I said, her two-year-old form has worked out very well. And she'd be so wonderful in the Flame of Tara prior to that. And she looks to be going the right way. So I still like her, but I wouldn't argue that she should be a short price favourite. You could argue there are five fillies in here with very similar form, and there shouldn't be a huge amount between them on paper. I'm just hoping that Cayenne Pepper improves a big chunk. I think she probably will. But if she's favourite for this, if she's a short price favourite, then I could probably leave her alone. You know, the whole point about spotting horses in running who get beaten is that you're getting a decent price about them next time out. Mm. Here she is, only finishing fourth in the Filly's Mile, and she might rock up at 6-4 for the Irish Oaks. Well, you're gaining nothing, are you? In terms of you're in running notes there. If she's going to be that kind of price, so if she does start those sort of odds, and I'm just going to let the race go, because as we've seen before, you know, races at the over this trip at the Curragh can become tactical. A very good ride on a front runner, as we saw at Epsom as well, can be the difference between victory and defeat as well. So I wouldn't want to be backing her at a very short price. I'd be interested to know who's going to make the running game, whether it was Laburnum, who made the running on her debut and was handy at Nace last time out all the way. That was the Oaks trial there. Whether she wants to make the running, whether Passion, given she did so at Epsom, goes on again. Again, as Tom said, I thought Passion really caught the eye. It's just beaten a long way in the end. But,
Snow can be handy as well.
Yeah. So I don't know exactly what the plan is, but one of these fillies, they're not going to be crawling around. One of them is going to go off at a decent pace, maybe with company, maybe just plying on ahead of the others. So with tactics up in the air, and as I said, pretty much all of these still improving, and really no more than 4 or 5 pounds between them. You know, Ennis Simon and Cayenne Pepper arguably have the best form, but they've had more chance to show what they can do. And there are other fillies who are unexposed in here. So it's a tight-looking race. I don't want to desert Cayenne Pepper, but I'd rather watch the race if she's too short.
If I was to push you then for something as an outsider, Rory, who would you be going for?
Do you have betting from anyone there? Are we guessing a little bit in terms of how they're going to go?
Yeah, you tell me what you want, I'll give it to you.
Well, let's tell us who the two outsiders are then, as it stands.
Okay, the Yaxini for Geraldine's. Mm-hmm. New York Girl, 21.0 currently on the Betfair Exchange. Passion, who we think will make the running, is 15.0. Laburnum is 13.0. Even so...
Laburnum.
13.0. Even so, 12.0. And then you take a big, significant drop. Snow, 5.5. And Steinem, 3.0. Cayenne Pepper, 3.0.
Do you know what? If I'm being absolutely brutal about this, if you could lay the front two in the market at 2-1 apiece... which is what's that, twos on the pair?
Yep.
Then I would do that. I think there are plenty of chances in this race, and I don't think the top two represent that much of the market.
Right.
Even though, you know, if you asked me to rate these, they would be first and second in my book. But I think it'd be a much tighter book than the one that you're reading there.
Okay, so laying the front two for Rory.
At those prices. Obviously, if they go off at 7-2 and 4-1, it becomes a different kettle of fish, doesn't it?
Yeah, and price is everything. We've talked about this on the show before. It's vital. And that, Rory, you alluded to it initially as well. There's no point in making notes about Cian Pepper wanting to get a good price about her and then getting stuck into her at 6-4 in this race. That is heartbreaking to Tumble, who is obviously supporting Enna Steinem. For me...
He doesn't have those heartbroken just because I want to be against her at a mythical 2-1.
Exactly. And you've been against Tom before and his horse has gone and won. So it doesn't matter. It's all about opinions and it can all play out and we'll see how it goes. When I say I like snow for this, I should point out to make it clear that I'm not talking about... which is a banging tune. But no, I do
what
like...
What is that?
Informer! Snow!
All right, okay. I was thinking, I thought you were about to play Red Hot Chili Peppers one.
Ah, you see, that was there as well as an option, but this is the more iconic one. Can you remember name of his album, Tom?
I can't, no.
His album was called, let me just get the pronunciation right. Jesus Christ. Anyway, I do like Snow. I think she's an improving filly and can have her presence felt here, but I would like a bigger price than the current 5.5, and hopefully we will get it. That's our look at the Irish Oaks. We're recording on Tuesday instead, where we're going to do something a little bit different. Instead of doing a weekend review, we're going to do a review of the season so far with Tony Keenan, Kate Tracy, and Caroline Murta. So we'll be looking at the best of the best so far for our half-term report on the Final Furlong podcast. Should be a lot of fun. We're recording on Tuesday afternoon. It'll be available for you on all podcast apps by Tuesday evening. The race that Rory DeLarghi is so keen to talk about is the Railway Stakes. The Gain Railway Stakes, 6:45 at the Curragh. And Rory, you cannot wait to get stuck into this one. Succinctly, your thoughts.
It's an awful race, I think. I'm not an easy one to bet in either, because... those who set the standards don't set a particularly high standard for a race of this type. The average time form rating of winners of this race over the last few years is 119, and the highest rated this year is 102. And obviously, you know, something's going to improve a chunk to win it. They're not going to be far off that 119, I wouldn't have thought. But that's the thing, you know, and what they've achieved so far, none of these are good enough to win it. To win a Railway Stakes, but something's going to improve a fair bit. But I don't like the two-year-old races at all. As I've said, it's been a funny season. The horses have been racing in different patterns than they normally would. We've seen a number of times Aidan O'Brien taking highly rated, well-bred horses over to the UK, only to flop in a few of Royal Ascot. He had the favour of the Superlative Stakes last Saturday doing the same. And for that reason, you know, you could not pay me to have a bet on this race. So I'll get off it fairly quickly.
Tom, for you, and let me ask you this question beforehand, given Aidan O'Brien's record in the race, and I'll extend this to you first of all and then to Rory, so brace yourselves. How many times has Aidan O'Brien won this race in the last decade? Tom?
I'll go twice.
Rory?
Twice.
Spot on, gentlemen, spot on. Twice, Van Beethoven and Painted Cliffs, two trainers who have retired, in fact, three. Richard Hennett Sr.'s gone. Jeremy Macedic gone, David Watchman gone. They were the ones who were having the most winners in this race. Ger Lyons won it last year with Siskin. It used to be a farmed race for Coolmore, but not anymore. So Tom, where would you be looking for this race?
Yeah, I agree with Rory. It's definitely not a race to have a bet in. A pretty weak race this year. I don't think To Glory, who is Ger Lyons' contender, is going to have anything like the amount of ability that Siskin has, despite the fact, of course, he probably is pretty smart, having won on debut. Great to see Paddy Toomey with what is likely to be a strong favourite here, or relatively strong favourite in Octition. Second in Group 3 company last time. That was a really nice run. Beat a pretty smart one of Coolmore's in third that day. If I was going to put up a selection, I'd be keener on Lucky Vega for Jesse Harrington. I was quite impressed with the way he won on debut, and he actually had Battleground behind him in fifth. We all know how well that one's come out and won at Royal Ascot. Mm-hmm. Pisana was disappointing at Royal Ascot, that one was second, but he's a bit of a quirky sort. And I think Lucky Vega, who was still quite green when he beat those 17 rivals last time out, he looks the one who should come on a significant chunk for that. And I thought it was actually some of the stronger form in the race as it was. So hopefully if he progresses a little bit, he's going to become a pretty nice two-year-old in the making. But I agree, I don't think this is a strong race. And of the O'Brien pair, I'd favour Merchant Key over Forest of Dreams, but both of them aren't, I don't think they're any leading lights particularly on what they've shown so far, so I'd go with Lucky Vega, but I hope Arctician runs well for Paddy Toomey.
Funnily enough, I'd quite like Forest of Dreams, but this is not a race that I want to be betting with any significance, but it's usually a race that needs to be talked about there. We've discussed it. The John Smith Silver Cup. Moonlight Spirit heads the betting on the Betfair Exchange at 2.5 currently. Universal Order 3.5 as Jamie Spencer is back for David Simcock. Communique and Mark Johnson 4.0 and Ranchan for Andrew Balding 8.5. Rory, succinctly, your thoughts on the John Smith Silver Cup, my friend?
I think Jamie Spencer will have a successful return on Universal Order. He was very game and winning in a blanket finish in a small field last time at Newmarket. I think, to be honest, a repeat of that's probably good enough to win this, because the best horse in the race is Communique, but he's just a much better horse at Newmarket than he is anywhere else. Mm. So he'd be top races here, and he came back to form when second to Tim Mayo last time out, but I wouldn't fancy him at this track. And then you get questions for one or two of these to answer. I thought Universal Order deserved to be favourite. Again, you know, I'm not looking to back 6-4 pokes in 5-runner races. You can make a case for Moonlight Spirits. I was taking a little bit of a chance stepping him up to 2.5 miles for the Gold Cup last time out. He'd be a lot happier back at this sort of trip, and he'd be a player as well. But I think Universal Order will run a big race here. He's got a very good strike rate. He does have his limitations, but this is his level. And Jamie Spencer will no doubt have cherry picked his comeback ride. He just got two rides on the weekend. Oh, well, two rides on Saturday, and this is his first ride back. So I think that will be a successful return to the saddle for Jamie.
I agree. And Jamie rode him to victory at York in September of last year. I think he'll be a comeback winner for Mr. Spencer. Tom, are you in agreement?
I am.
Yarmouth last year, by the way, not York.
Oh, for goodness sakes. It's not Yarmouth, is it? Oh, for goodness sakes. Y-A-R. Is my eyesight starting to fail me? The one good attribute that I have, is that starting to go? Oh, damn it. It might be, you know. But the breaking news here is that Tom is in agreement with us. So I have to go place a bet right now. Tom.
Well, that might be the first time we've been in all three of us.
I think it is. You know, this is either really good or really bad.
Yeah, it can only go very well, I think. look, I think actually, firstly, we've got to say how well Callum Shepherd's done without Jamie Spencer being around. He's
well said.
Really filled his pretty well. I've been very impressed with him. He's rode a lot of winners, and I think David Simcock is going to have been very, very happy with him, and probably thinking to himself, well, you know, if Jamie spends a little bit longer out on the sidelines, it won't be too bad at all. But it's great to see Spencer back. Obviously, he's perfect at riding this kind of horse, Universal Order, because he's the kind of horse that likes to come with a late withering run. And as Spencer showed when we were talking about Yarmouth last year, it's exactly the kind of ride that he loves, biding his time in small fields and getting there late. He's the kind of horse that does suit a small field as well. He's got a nice potent turn of foot. It'll be interesting to see how he gets on back over this longer trip, because he's run over it twice now, 1 mile, 6 furlongs. At Maidan, he was slightly disappointing, although only beaten 2.5 lengths, but he was sent off quite a short price for that day earlier in the year. But I still think, considering the way he won at Newmarket last time over 1.5 miles, I would have no problems with this extra trip. And I think, considering he is going to be held up with a late run, a track like this, I think he should have no problems in getting it. I mean, it's a bit of a shame, really, there are only 5 runners. And if you look at it properly, it's just a kind of 3-horse race, really, at the moment, provided Eagles By Day and Rajhan don't improve significantly. It just kind of says to yourself, where are all the stayers, you know? It's a Group 3 over a 1.6 mile, and there are only 3 proper kind of group horses in it. And it's a bit of a shame, really. But at the same time, at least it's a decent enough race. There's no odds-on favourite. Moonlight Spirit has very high class group form. That second technician at Longchamp at the end of last year was really good form. But he was a real, real disappointment behind Stradivarius, as so many were in the Ascot Gold Cup. And on the back of that, you've got to be mad to back it, I would have said. Mm-hmm. Communique ran really well at Newmarket, as Rory said last time. But Newmarket, Cambridgeshire, is his cup of tea. He absolutely loves the Rolling Mile and the July course. So back at York, you'd be inclined to take him on, particularly as actually he is a pretty erratic animal. And I've not been as impressed with him this year as I have been in the past in terms of consistency and in terms of ability. So I'd be quite keen to take him on as well. So actually, the you know, by default, really, Universal Order stands out on that win at Newmarket last time. He should be fine over this trip. Jamie Spencer coming back. I can, you know, it all kind of adds up really to Universal Order landing the John Smith Silver Cup.
3.5 on the Betfair Exchange, but it's not going to last much longer as all three of us will be piling in to Newbury and the 2:15. And again, a race that Rory De Largy insisted that we talk about in pre-production, the Rose Bowl Stakes. Rory, take it away.
Yeah, there's a certain kind of race that I'm not massively interested in.
Just tell us that Method wins and we'll move on.
Method wins. What kind of price you're going to get about Method is another matter altogether. But yeah, he absolutely stuffed Fevre over at Doncaster on his debut, looking a really good prospect. And the only question about that was, how good's the second? Well, the second very nearly won the Duchess of Cambridge last week. So the form is clearly very good. And your only worry is that, you know, every now and again you get a horse who produces an absolutely stunning debut performance and then doesn't go on from it straight away. But that looked very, very, very good. And it'll be a huge disappointment if he doesn't win this.
Vizanari, anybody? Tom, you're in agreement with Method.
I am indeed, yeah. He absolutely pulverised him, didn't he? It was wonderful to watch a horse kind of spread eagle his rivals like that, as he did last time. Really went a kind of a whole length of the course. The camera could only have one horse in shot, and it's great to see that, isn't it? And hopefully he can back that up with a Sheen Murphy on board for Martin Mead. And I really like Martin Mead as a trainer. He's had some very good horses in the past, but never some not quite kind of really top class Group One horses who have been capable of winning in the classics or anything like that. But potentially Method could be one of those. One horse I'm quickly going to mention, an absolutely enormous price, is Mere Green, just because Nick Bradley, who owns the horse, owns Fevrova, and he's going to have a decent line into Method. He's got some very, very good two-year-olds this year, as we've seen, and I don't think Richard Fyre, he would just be plunging in Mere Green to this race if he didn't think that the horse is going to be capable of a lot better. She's going to have to improve a hell of a lot for that opening run, but, you know, Richard Fahey's have been improving this season for their first run, and I can see her outrunning her odds, but I don't think they're going to get to Method. So I think he's going to win the 2:15.
He's got Dandilla, doesn't he?
He has, yeah. He's got some really good ones.
He had the first and second that day, didn't he? Dandilla and, yeah, and the second. The second is co-owned by Mr. Hugh Taylor of this parish. I think he's still shaking from that fantastic performance. So the dream is alive there. So Mere Green possibly for the exacta then, but it's Method. We're all on Method in the 2:15 at Newbury.
August 13th, 2010, Frankel wins for the first time at Newmarket, beginning an incredible run of 14 wins. All great streaks start somewhere, so start your own with Betfair's free bet streak. Simply bet £20 on the exchange this week and get a £5 free bet. If you win with a free bet, you'll get another. It's that simple. Free bet streak from Betfair.
Weekly opt-in, back all exchange bets placed Monday to Sunday. Minimum odds £1.55 free bet awarded at bet settlement, valid for 72 hours, T's and C's. Apply 18+, begambleaware.org.
The 3:25 Newbury, the Aphrodite Filly Stakes. Virgin Snow heads the betting at, will we play Snow again? Nah. 5.0 on the Betfair Exchange, 6.0 La Lune, and Shilane for Andrew Balding and Ryan Moore, 7.0. Tom, you can take this one first. The 3:25 Newbury.
Yeah, I've got a relatively strong fancy in this, actually. I'd be quite keen on Vivid Diamond. She's not had her required conditions for quite a while now. And last time, when she finished behind, actually, one we've already mentioned, Universal Icon, she was taking on a higher class of horse that day, despite the fact it was in a similar grade, and she was taking on the boys. And I think she almost certainly needed that effort. She blew up a bit in front, but it was by no means devoid of promise at all. And I think the fact that she is coming on, having a second time now, second run now, I think she'll definitely strip fitter. And I'm just going to go quickly talk back through a reasons why she can be excused some of her defeats last season. For example, she ended last season with a really heavy defeat in a group three at Saint-Cloud. But I think you could put that down to very heavy ground and the fact she was feeling it at the end of a long season. And previously she finished third behind Miranda, again on soft ground, which I don't think really suits her particularly well. But she was definitely on it. She was definitely run a good race there. She ran a cracker to finish just off a, just beaten by a good horse of Sir Michael Stout's called Sextant. That's a really big run in the context of this race. And if she runs to that level now, she will win. And now we get to the crux of the matter, in my opinion. She finished a really good third in the Park Hill last season behind Enbehar and Delphinia, both of whom would be very, very strong favourites for this race indeed, and they'd probably win. The conditions suited her that day. It was faster ground, and she finished ahead of some very good fillies, including Dan Mayo, who we saw won last week for Ed Vaughan, and Frank Laforme in no uncertain terms. She'd previously, the start before that, I know this is quite a long time ago, and I wasn't in the middle of last season. We know how often Mark Johnson runs his horses. She previously ran the Chester Stakes by five lengths. That's a listed contest. And if in that form again, she is the one to beat here, she's also the one to beat on that Park Hill run. And she finally gets her required conditions now. And she's had that opening run under her belt. She should be very tough to beat as she's a proven listed performer, something that a lot of these rivals aren't. And I think she should be capable of winning this sort of contest. She's the highest rated in the race and was actually rated as high as 106 after the Park Hill. So definitely looks the one to beat to me if she bounces back to something like her best, which I think she's going to, because conditions are going to be ideal for her. We often see Mark Johnson's horses do bounce back, and I can see her going very, very close indeed. This is a very winnable race, and I think she's going to be the one to beat.
The Universal Order Vivid Diamond Double could be into play here as well. 7.5 on the Betfair Exchange. She's a general 6-1 shot elsewhere. Rory, do you want to back that up or go elsewhere?
I think that's a generally fair point. I wouldn't be citing the fact that she was ahead of Dim Mayo or Dan Mayo. In the Park Hill, though, because that filly just didn't give her running at all that day. I wouldn't be drawing a line between her performance there. I was with her that day. I thought she was going to be really good. Dan Mayo, and she ran an absolute stinker. Obviously she was all for it. If I went after that and bounced straight back to her best on her next start, it was still a good performance from Vivid Diamond to finish third behind Enbehar, who was a very solid performer last year. She was getting £13, of course, weight for age. So you've got to bear that in mind. But yes, the pick of her form gives her every chance in this race.
And the dogs at the Largies are starting to bark about the fact that this Vivid Diamond should be backed. I should point out that Rory has a guest dog. This is not Bogey, a neighbour's dog who's kicking up a fuss and may very well be a guest on the show.
Well, in fairness, it's probably...
Who is it, Rory?
Yeah,
that's the guest
they're
one.
They're sending each other off.
Oh, goodness sakes. So, Vivid Diamond for you, Rory?
No, but I don't have a tremendously strong opinion on the race. I would go with Virgin Snow, who I know was beaten... you can argue she's beaten easily by Nkosi Kazi in the Hopping Stakes at Newcastle last time out, but I thought the winner got a very, very good ride that day. That's accentuated her winning margin. I thought Virgin Snow, we haven't seen the best of her yet. Obviously she's a daughter of Snow Fairy. She doesn't have the form yet to match Vivid Diamond. She's not exposed. I thought it was a good run last time out. For all you can poke holes in it. And I think a well-run race of this trip will show to better effect. So I'd give her another chance to prove herself a group filly.
Repartee heads the betting for the 4 o'clock at Newbury. The Hackwood Stakes, the group three. Judicial, an old favourite of Tom Bull's, 5.0. But I believe, Tom, you're deserting him.
I'm afraid I am. I just think that £3 penalty he's got to carry, that could just find him out in a race of this nature. I mean, I know he was a very good winner last time out and a pretty hot Chip Chase Stakes, but I have to say, I wanted to jump for joy when I saw the declarations for this race, because Summerhand is a group winner waiting to happen. He is one of those slightly quirky horses who needs absolutely everything to drop absolutely perfectly for him, which we didn't quite see in the Wokingham, because he couldn't quite reel in Hey Jonesy, though probably should have won that race. We saw the same thing earlier in the season when he couldn't quite get to Tinto, who is now a proven pattern level sprinter himself and also runs in this. But we really saw what Samahan can do at Pontefract last time out. As I know, it was only a handicap, but he was top weight off 105, travelled like a dream, as is his wont, and then put them to bed in quite effortless fashion. I mean, to be honest, I actually possibly think he hit the front too early that day, as I think he needs to be held up and held on to as long as possible. He's got that wonderful, potent, devastating turn of foot at the end of his races, and he's got that. He's a bit, reminds me of it. I know he's not quite as good, but he reminds me of the way that Sol Power used to run, and the fact that he just loved to be covered up and come with that late rattle. I'm delighted 12 have been declared for this, as it means he should get a lovely toe into it and we'll have some cover. David O'Mara's, as we said earlier, had some really good winners recently, and it's testament to, you know, his ability as a trainer that Samahan is improving as a 6-year-old. Now, it's interesting to point out the ceiling of this race is held by the Tin Man, who is quite clearly regressing slightly. He's all still rated 115, but you'd be inclined to think that something, you know, would improve past him. He's won this race in the past, I know, but Samahan has around £7 to find with him, but I'm not convinced that either the Tin Man or Shine So Bright, both of whom are rated at the top end of this race, are going to be quite as good. They're still dining out. I mean, I know that Shine So Bright is still dining out in his Group 2 win at York last year when the weights were really in his favour. I think if you look at the field in general, plenty of these are out of form. I would fear Repartee with that weight allowance because he won pretty well at Windsor last time, but I just think this race might come a little bit soon. And I think the biggest danger will come from Judicial, who has a great chance, but that £3 penalty, I think, does swing the balance in the favour of Samahan, who is due a really big success. I know he got off the mark at Ponty last time out, but a race of this nature is definitely up his... He's definitely within his capabilities, and I'd be surprised if he wasn't bang there at the finish. And hopefully, he can come with that late withering run that we all know and love, and he can finally not prove the bridesmaid, but be the bride in a really big race.
Rory, for you, the 4 o'clock, our last race to talk about on Saturday.
I see this much the same way as Tom, to be perfectly honest. I would be with Samahan as well here. I think his win last time out at Pontefract is as good as anything any of these have shown recently. He will get the race run to suit here as well. His last three runs are all absolutely solid. He's just in the form of his life at the moment. I think Samahan will win for him again.
So Summer Jihand for Rory, for Tom, for me, and for Rory's neighbour's dog, who will not shut up on the Final Furlong podcast. What is his name?
It's a she. She is called Truly. She's an absolutely gorgeous dog. She's an English pointer.
I say.
And she's stunning, but she doesn't like being left alone.
Clearly not. She shares a cool Moor name, is clearly a classy dog, but she wants all the attention in the world. Let's move on.
Hold on a second, though.
Oh.
Jimmy, you want anyone to be famous, don't you break the start, okay? That's because you've been Harvey. All right? You're not riding on a pint of pint now, okay? You stay in the line, we walk over the board, and you go as hard as you fucking want to with the ball. Do not cause a fraud there.
Nobody
thinks it's so hard to think about. You can see
your
rider now.
No!
Yes! I'm
not breaking a walk! No, well, I don't want anybody to do that. I just want everybody to walk to the poles, please. Now you walk the whole way to the poles. You walk! You walk! You walk!
Davy Russell takes no nonsense. On the Final Furlong podcast, no nonsense at all from him. Do you know who could do with his help? Robbie Supple.
Hey, would you ever leave Robbie Supple alone for crying out loud?
I was waiting for it. I was waiting for Rory to just get stuck in with his instant defense of Robbie. Let's get Davey sent over to help out Robbie. The Marsh Cup, Newbury, 4 o'clock. It's over 2.5 miles. Australis was last time out, finishing second to Caravan of Hope. That race you can watch back from Newcastle on attheraces.com if you want some video prep for the weekend. While Tom was all over Caravan of Hope for the big race at Newcastle, the Northumberland Plate, you are not going to be with Australis, Tom.
Not this time. I mean, we talked about it off air, didn't we? And I just said that, you know, Rory said, and I agree with him, that Australis had the perfect run of the race that day. There was no excuse for him. He was could not have been better placed throughout the contest, and he still couldn't win. That could have been his big day, and it just didn't happen. So I think he is worth taking on again. You know, the bookies haven't missed him. He's not that particularly short price, but he is favourite, and I'd be much more inclined to look for something at a bigger price, which leads me nicely on to Diocletian, this horse for Andrew Balding, who ran really no sort of race in the Ascot Stakes at Royal Ascot on his return, but He seemed a little disconcerted by the first time. Hurd ran very keen that day and was never going to get home of that 2.5 mile trip. It was a very difficult ask for him first time up to win that kind of race. So I think now he's had that first start out of the way. He drops back in trip 4 furlongs here. That's going to help him a lot. And let's not forget, he was a very, very impressive winner at Chester last back end. He did get a massive hike in the weights for that, but it was more than fair enough. It was a most impressive victory. And I do think he's overpriced around about 20-25 to 1 mark. Now, his best performances have come at left-handed tracks. So I think the switch to Newbury from Ascot is certainly a positive, as is, as I said, the drop to trip 2 miles. And if he doesn't start to progress like he did towards the back end of last season, then he definitely will go very well here. Andrew Boarding's having a cracking season. And hopefully Diocletian, who is definitely overpriced, I think he can win this kind of race off a mark of 96. And I'm hoping for the best for him because he's a stayer I'd like to follow. And I hope he progresses again this season as he did last season.
Diocletian for Tom Bull. Rory, for you.
Yeah, I think the Northumberland Plate is definitely a race to look at for all Australis. Was seen to best effect there. It's 96 pounds higher after getting beaten. I thought that counted against him here. One who took the eye further back in the field there and is potentially well handicapped is Just Hubert, and I'll be with him here. He got an awful ride from Martin Dwyer. I don't know what the hell he was playing at. Unless he felt the horse simply couldn't raise a gallop in the early stages, but you needed to be right up with the pace there at Newcastle. He didn't go great gallop. And if you were behind turning into the street, you just had no chance of making up the ground. And Just Hubert was well adrift of the second last horse in the early stages there, with his rider seemingly happy to let him swing away like that. So he did well to pass half the field in the end. He finished 11th, which doesn't sound particularly good, but if you consider where he came from and the fact that they were effectively sprinting in the last couple of furlongs, relatively speaking, that wasn't a bad run from him. I suppose it was just reviewing the start of that race, he was a bit slowly into stride, but I thought, and you don't want to rush them up straight away, but Martin was more than happy to let him just sit well off the pace. And there is, sometimes with horses like that, there's a degree of picking up the pieces, where if you just delay your challenge until very late, then those who've made an earlier run and can't sustain it are easy pickings late on. So that is a slight worry. But he does win races, Just Hubert. He had a good season last year. He's won 3 times, all right-handed, which is a slight concern here. But I don't think that necessarily means he has to go this way around. His last win came off just a £2 lower mark at Musselburgh in September on quick ground. And since then, he's had excuses, either racing in tough company and on a ground that doesn't necessarily suit. Needed his return at Haydock. I thought he did more badly there. Was much better than the bare result at Newcastle, and has dropped a couple of pounds for those runs. So he's competitive handicap-wise. His pedigree shows that this is the trip he should be running at, and he's still relatively unexposed at 2 miles. When you take out those races that he couldn't win. And I thought he had every chance on paper. What kind of price are we looking at?
We're looking at a big price, Rory.
Yeah.
21.5 currently in the Betfair Exchange.
Yeah, if he's bigger than 20, then that's a big price. He's a turf performer. So, people were happy to punt him at 14s and then a thumber to play it. And he was much better than the result. So he shouldn't be a bigger price for this. So if he's 20s and upwards, then he's definitely worth it.
Well, 21.5 currently for Just Hubert on the Betfair Exchange, and Tom's selection, Diocletian, 17.0. So two big price selections there for us. And our final race is another one that Rory cannot wait to talk about. The Wetherby Super Sprint Stakes. 2-year-olds again, Rory, briefly.
The Super Sprint is a great race. It's a great race, particularly if you're Rod Millman, and every decade you can win it and, get new owners and build new boxes and stuff like that out of it, because it gives you a chance if you've got an eye for a fast juvenile or a yearling who's going to turn into a fast juvenile, then it gives you the opportunity of winning a massive pot for a reasonably small outlay. Unfortunately, the pot isn't as big as it was. because of the times that we're in. First prize is 70 odd grand this year. Has been more than that. But it's not a race that always goes to the form book. And it's a race where the draw will play a part. And it's also a race we don't have declarations for or the draw. I don't want to suggest for a second that it's a terrible race. It's just a race I don't like punting in. I still like Happy Romance, who would have been my selection in the Queen Mary. She's only fifth there, but she showed a lot of speed to win at Sandown on her second start, having shaped a lot better than the better result on her debut. You know, she's clearly just short of the highest class, but she'll get in here with no way. She'll get in here with 8.5 with the Phillies Alliance and having cost 25 grand, which is not a fortune these days. So she's got a very strong chance if she's in there for a yard that does very well with it. It's a little bit sad that Lullaby Moon is running for Different Connections now, having run an absolute screamer on debut to win at Goodwood for Joe Chewett. Joe, who doesn't get debutant winners at all, this filly by Bilardo, I think became his first winner when scoring at Goodwood. But she's been switched to Michael Bell since that.
Sold and switched.
Sold and switched. And she's probably the one to beat on paper, given that she's run to a similar standard as the likes of Happy Romance and Get It, with just one run, and again from a yard that never gets its newcomers buzzed up. So you'd like to think there's improvement.
Disco Beats is a horse that was mentioned by our good friend John Dance at the start of the season, so I would keep the fate with him. He was in the winner's enclosure last time at a short price, and Joe Fanning is jocked up. So hopefully John Dance will be in the winner's enclosure with Disco Beats. Tom, for you?
Well, funnily enough, I'm going to go with both of you, actually. The two that I had picked out were Disco Beats and the Hannon filly as well. So I'm going to stick with you guys. I think the Disco Beats is quite impressive last time, I thought.
Yeah.
And you can kind of draw his run the time before that. And I think based on that run last time, he's going to improve again. I think he's going to have a decent chance each way. Happy Romance obviously has the form in the book, and the Queen Mary was very impressive on her start before that in victory. And she gets that weight allowance. So hopefully she'll get in the race once the preparations are made. And she's got a big chance too. So, but I would agree with both of you.
Excellent. Richard Hannon has taken this race twice in the last 6 years, and Disco Beats would be a nice winner for the Final Front podcast. And for the DJ himself, John Dance, you can see him spinning the tunes on his Twitter page if you want, or him talking about some Marvel stuff as well, which we all love. And John will be back on the show before the end of the year. Best bets, gentlemen. Best bets for the weekend. Tom, we'll start with you.
Oh, that's tricky. I'll probably go with Vivid Diamond and the Aphrodite. I'm very keen on her. Now that she's got those conditions she needs, she should improve for that first start when she was taking on the boys. And I can see her going really, really well here. I don't think it's a very strong Aphrodite stakes. She's the best filly in the race on ratings. And I think she will run to that level and she should win.
I'm pleased with that. Rory, for you?
Probably go Just Hubert if I'm getting 20s and bigger.
Just Hubert for Rory De Largy at a wild price. I will go for Universal Order. So Jamie Spencer back in the winner's enclosure on his comeback. That's it. We are done. That's the weekend winners sorted for Saturday and for Sunday. My thanks once again to Tom Bull from The Sun. I'm expecting big stuff in the weekend, both on radio and in the paper as well.
Yes, indeed. The paper's got a lovely pull out as always. A few stuff in there from Matt Chapman and the likes of him. And
from who? As well. Oh, God.
And some big features too. So make sure you look out for that. And TalkSport, I think, have got the racing again on Saturday. So, yeah, it should be a big weekend.
Should be indeed. Rory, you're in the Irish Field at the weekend?
Certainly hope so. I'm written for them, so I hope they publish it.
So it should be there then. Of course, Hugh Taylor and Simon Rollins will be available for free on attheraces.com and the At The Races app, which is available as a free download for your smartphone, iPhone, Android, whatever it is you're using. On Tuesday, Caroline Murta, Kate Tracy and Tony Keenan join me as we look back on the best of the best, in our opinion, of 2020 on the flat so far. We'll be looking ahead to the Arc. We'll be looking ahead to the Breeders' Cup live on Sky Sports Racing and more big races too. But who we think are the best horses and the ones to be watching so far this season, that'll be coming for you on Tuesday afternoon on all podcast apps. Make sure you're subscribed to listen to it. It should be gold. From Tom Bull.
Cheers, Emmett. Thank you very much. Have a lovely weekend. Hopefully there are some winners in there.
Hopefully lots of gravy. From Rory De Largy.
All the very best.
From Roy DeLargy's neighbor's dog.
Woof woof.
Then from me and Ms. Kennedy, thanks so much for listening. Look after yourself. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon. God bless.
Will it happen or won't it happen? You can bet on it with the Betfair Exchange, proud sponsors of the Final Furlong podcast.
Have you downloaded the free At The Races app yet? With easy-to-use race cards and form, expert daily tips, plus video replays and in-app betting, it's the app that no racing fan's phone should be without. Available for free on your iPhone or Android mobile, visit attheraces.com/app for more details.